Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer. SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting.
Than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience.
With Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Oh, boy. He always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this? Dada.
And we're live. Welcome, everybody, here to the Lakers Lounge Podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin, senior Lakers insider for Clutch Points. This is breaking news. We are here talking about breaking news, and that being that LeBron James is going to be out at least 3 to 4 weeks. He'll be reevaluated after that time, as he deals with sciatica on his right side. That takes them well past opening night. It's opening night's less than a couple weeks away. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about some of what that means, you know, obviously for LeBron, for the Lakers as a team. JJ Redick has some choices to make. So we'll talk about all of that stuff. We will talk also about some of the other updates from practice, and I'm really kind of confused by how little conversation has been surrounding some of the Giannis stuff with the Lakers specifically, and the timeline when you look at the off season and how it played out and what the Lakers may or may not do here moving forward. There was a lot of story branching off of those rumors, and nobody seems to be talking about them. Today, I get it, because we got actual news. But over the last couple of days, has been kind of interesting. So we'll talk about that as well. A quick reminder, please do hit that subscribe button wherever it is that you get your podcasts, if you guys are listening to the show in that way. If you guys are watching right now from on Twitter, head on over to youtube.com/@LakersLounge to find the show there. If you guys are watching on YouTube right now, please hit that subscribe button. Please hit that like button and comment away. Fire away. I've been trying to do a better job of replying to comments and at least acknowledging them with like the little like button. So if I'm going to do that, you guys got... No, I'm kidding. Let's go ahead and dive in. All right. So the news comes from the Lakers. They officially announced that LeBron James is going to be reevaluated in 3 to 4 weeks as he deals with what is now being deemed sciatica. Remember, to this point, the injury was called some kind of nerve impingement on his glute, a glute muscle, or a nerve in his glute, his butt. And now it, you know, that has become the sciatica, which anybody who has gotten older, especially golfers, have a lot of people, a lot of old golfers have dealt with this. LeBron started golfing over the summer. I'll just say a couple of funny texts have been exchanged over this with those of us who golf, but not really a funny situation, obviously. LeBron will miss opening night, will miss a week beyond opening night, it sounds like, at least. And then, you know, the thing about these nerve issues and the thing about sciatica, you ask anybody who's had it, it goes and it comes back, and then, you know, you feel great, and then you tweak it, and you're like, damn it, I'm back to where I was a week ago. You know, this is going to be one of those things that I'm not going to say, you know, I don't want to use the word lingers, because LeBron to this point has, you know, proven a lot of modern medicine or what we believed about these injuries incorrect. But this is one of those injuries. This is one of those situations where you just never know when it's going to jump up and bite you again. So on that front, you know, LeBron dealing with the sciatica, LeBron specifically dealing with the sciatica is a little concerning also because it's a difficult thing to condition with, right? It's a core issue. So a lot of the things that LeBron would normally be doing to get or stay in shape, he's not going to be able to do to the same extent because he will be dealing with this moving forward. So that also is a little concerning in that, you know, that's going to affect how quickly he comes back and then also what he looks like whenever he gets back and how quickly it's going to take for him, or how long it might take for him to ramp back up. So you got that going on as well. Overall, this is pretty tough news here for the Lakers. And it does present them with some new choices on what they'll have to do with their starting group. Previously, I had reported that the belief going into the season was that eventually their starters would be, or that their main lineup, their main starting group would be, if everybody was healthy, Austin, Luka, LeBron, Ayton, and Rui, right? And look, Rui has had a lot of success starting when LeBron has been out. So we can just now write Rui's name, I would imagine, in pen as a starter here moving forward. Now the question becomes, will JJ Redick start Marcus Smart? Will he start Jared Vanderbilt? Or will he go off of the board here and go with like a Jake LaRavia or something like that? I think that would be pretty surprising. To me, the choice comes down to, and I haven't spoken to anybody about this. This has just dropped, so I'll kind of ask around again. But the choice comes down to Marcus Smart and Jared Vanderbilt for a lot of the reasons that we've kind of talked about to this point, where you do have a better defender out there in one of those two, especially at the point of attack with Marcus Smart and a little bit with Jared Vanderbilt. You have somebody out there. You can now stagger Smart and Vanderbilt to help with your spacing and to make sure that the other team's best player for the entirety of the time that he is on the court, Smart and Vanderbilt will be bothering them. So you'll have that kind of to look forward to as well. This does bring, you know, weirdly, I would have preferred to have this happen for a different reason, but there will be a little bit more balance to the lineups now with while LeBron is out. And I do kind of wonder, depending on how various guys play during this time, while LeBron is out, you know, what kind of looks JJ Redick and what kind of information JJ Redick will process to eventually, you know, because LeBron's obviously going to start whenever he comes back. So, you know, the week or so, or the week and some change, at least, that LeBron is out at the beginning of the season here, JJ Redick will have a lot of information to work with after that to take a look at different lineup combinations, different rotation combinations, downstream effects of some of the choices that he makes. So it'll be kind of, I'm going to be very curious to see whenever LeBron is able to come back, you know, who JJ takes out of the starting group to reinsert LeBron. So that's going to be really interesting as well. I also, you know, from a strategic standpoint, you know, this now means officially that LeBron and Luka will once again head into a season, or once again be in the season building that plane while it's flying. And that is going to be tough for both of those guys and for JJ Redick and for his coaching staff to implement a system that more thoroughly takes advantage of those guys being on the court at the same time. It's just the reality of the situation. which, you know, sounds a lot like J.J. Redick today at practice. Actually, I want to talk about that. Let's talk about J.J. Redick's comments here at practice. Originally, when I was going to go live, and for some reason was just kind of held up doing some other stuff here. But originally, I was going like the overlay here is this. Originally, it was going to be, is J.J. Redick pissed? Is he frustrated? You know, and I was kind of sending some messages and some texts and stuff like that, like, hey, J.J. Redick seemed a little extra antsy today. Now, I would imagine that that has something to do with the news that the Lakers were getting ready to break for us. So, you know, it might just be that J.J. was kind of standing there with information that he knew was about to go public and was reacting to that news while he was conducting that scrum with the beat reporters. But I was sitting there watching him because he was asked about, or he commented on the comments from DeAndre Ayton yesterday, where Ayton was asked about the playing with Luka, playing with LeBron, and what that's been like, or what that's going to be like, or what that's been like. And Ayton was like, I don't know, it hasn't happened. And so first, J.J. Redick, you know, clarified, hey, just so you guys know, Ayton and Luka practiced last week together. Ayton hasn't practiced, and nobody has practiced with LeBron. And that was an interesting quote, right? Like, I had actually taken that, again, given the context that we had in the moment, I actually took that to and kind of wondered, like, is he kind of pissed at LeBron? Anybody else noticing this? And you know, he was asked, you know, how difficult it's been to go through training camp, and does he feel like they're missing an opportunity with the number of guys who have been in and out of availability? And he said, this is just the reality of the situation. That's just the cards that you're dealt, you know, all of that stuff. And again, I was kind of sitting there wondering, like, this seems like a coach who's kind of frustrated about how all of this is going down. And originally, because the other line that sparked some interest online was J.J. Redick saying that LeBron is, quote, on his own timeline, end quote. And that was another one. You know, you combine all of these quotes, and I just was getting ready to hop on here and talk about, hey, I think J.J.'s kind of pissed at how all of this is going. And it would make total sense if he was, right? Because he's not able to prepare his team for the upcoming season in the way that he would like to. And when they don't look prepared, preparation does tend to fall on the coach's head. And he's going to sit there like, what was I supposed to do? You know, and originally when it seemed like it was more by choice, where there wasn't, you know, it was that fuzzy kind of reporting of like, yeah, LeBron's got this glute thing. Well, now it's out there. It's in the ether. LeBron, or the Lakers, have announced it formally that LeBron is going to be out for at least this amount of time with this specific injury. Now that speculation is moot, right? I really think that what it comes down to is J.J. And that frustration that we sense, because I'm not saying that he wasn't frustrated, but I think that frustration that we sensed, and that, or at least I sensed, was with the situation. And how annoyed he was at the fact that, you know, they just, after trading for Luka midseason last year and looking forward to a training camp where Luka and LeBron could get out on the same on the court at the same time and start working towards a system that, again, more thoroughly takes advantage of both of those guys. Now they enter the season and they're going to be in the same exact spot as they were last year, where, yeah, there are things that you could try to do. You could try to, you know, scrounge together every amount of practice time that you can, but you also got to focus on recovery throughout the season. And that makes it really difficult to implement the system that you know, perhaps J.J. and his staff would like to implement. And, you know, this goes from missed opportunity to just reality. And Sometimes reality bites, and that's just, you know, the spot that the Lakers find themselves in. So, I do think JJ was frustrated. To answer the question that I had coming into this episode, it's just a matter of he's frustrated with the situation versus what it seemed like at first, where it kind of sort of felt and kind of sort of read like he was frustrated with people. Now, the Lakers did get some good news from today's practice, where they offered up some good news from today's practice, which was that Smart was able to be a full participant again after missing yesterday's practice with that with those flu-like symptoms. And remember, I told you guys, this is kind of funny, made me chuckle while I was watching these quotes come out. But I had mentioned yesterday how when you have a kid, and I didn't know whether or not Marcus has a kid. But he's like, when you have a kid, these stupid Petri dishes just get you sick all the time. And Smart said, like, yeah, you have a 1-year-old and he's, you know, they bring these things home, even, you know, because I would imagine they probably have some kind of a daycare situation there, or they have a nanny that has to come in, or you know, somebody else there to take care of the kid or to help take care of the kid. And these kids, they have their immune systems are still building, which makes them more susceptible to these sicknesses, which when they get sick and you're taking care of them and you're kissing on them and you're cuddling them, you eventually get sick. And good luck trying not to kiss on them and cuddle them, because they're your kids. Like, I, you know. And so, you know, Marcus makes it, you know, says that, yeah, you know, you got these 1-year-olds and you get sick. And he was asked, you know, well, how are you feeling now? And he sounded and looked fine. He was asked about playing in preseason games, and he said that they are taking it day by day. But the plan is to eventually play in some or a preseason game. So that's good to know. You know, again, when Smart has been out there on the court, people have talked about his leadership. They've talked about what he's looked like as a basketball player, and he is definitely a net positive player. We also know, though, that Jared Vanderbilt has looked really, really good in these preseason games. So there might legitimately be a competition for that starting gig, which, in my opinion, I'm always of the belief that more competition is the more competition, the better. And it tends to make, you know, both players better, and it makes the team as a whole better when you have an open competition. So it looks like we're probably going to get one of those, and that's going to be something to monitor from here on out throughout the rest of training camp. But Marcus Smart being back, that's really good news. They need him probably even more now, especially from a leadership standpoint when LeBron isn't able to get out there. And you know, now with LeBron out, again, I keep going back to these balanced, potentially more balanced lineups, because I was concerned about the imbalance with Rui getting ready to start. Well, now those groups are going to make a little bit more sense. We'll see, you know, what they look like and what the rotation as a whole looks like here whenever they're able to officially get out on the court together. But Smart getting back is good news. Let's hope it stays that way. Now, again, we talked about this a little bit, and in yesterday's show and over the course of the last couple of days, and I actually made one of those YouTube shorts, and for some reason framed myself so it's like it's just all you see is my face. I won't do that again, because that is a lot of jowl. But I was kind of curious, the response to it, where there was basically no response. Like, the tweet has done pretty good numbers, and the views on YouTube really aren't that great. And the reaction and response to it has mostly been like, whatever. None of the beat reporters have talked about this. None of, like, Trevor hasn't talked about this. Jovan, I don't believe, has talked about this. Pete and Darius haven't talked about this. Maybe there are other shows out there that I'm not paying attention to or as close attention to. Maybe they covered it. But like to the best of, like, and I even asked Harrison, hey, have you noticed that nobody is talking about this? And he even said, I honestly hadn't thought about this, and called me weird for being able to link all of this nonsense together. So for a quick refresher, back during the offseason, remember the Lakers went from at the beginning of the season talking about or leaking their focus on Giannis and Jokic down the line and making themselves as flexible as possible to be able to trade for one or both of those guys, you know, whether that's in the offseason, the 2026 offseason or the 2027 offseason. And that was how they basically like headed into the offseason. And then I reported early in the offseason that they had shown an interest and had conversations with Miami about Andrew Wiggins. And I believe Jovan also reported on this as well, that the Lakers in Miami had had these talks about Wiggins. Now, the talks never really got all that far. No agents were called to inform them that, you know, their player might be, or their client might be, you know, looking for a new home or anything like that. But that was one of the players and the type of player that the Lakers were really kind of looking at. And then, you know, the months kind of go by after the Lakers obviously didn't trade for Andrew Wiggins, and heading into the season after Eurobasket, Dan Wojcicki and Mark Stein report that the Lakers, after seeing Luka play in Eurobasket and after he signed his contract, that now the Lakers are now more interested in taking on longer term money and more interested in giving up draft capital, and specifically mentioned Andrew Wiggins, though Wojcicki made sure to say that the Lakers weren't interested in him before. I had it reiterated to me today, though, that they definitely were. So, again, Wojcicki, and you know, I have no problem with Wojcicki. Good dude. He's hearing one thing, I'm hearing another. It doesn't make either of us wrong. It just means we talk to different people and are getting a different picture painted. But regardless, so I asked about it again today, and I asked around about, like, why isn't this being talked about? And my theory is that, like, fans aren't really going to have a reaction to the Lakers not being mentioned as a destination that Giannis would be interested in. That, you know, there's enough going on this time of year. You're getting ready for opening night. You have all of the concern that I have shared over the Lakers' approach to training camp to this point, and that has kind of garnered the vast majority of the attention. But still, it was kind of weird, right? Like, it just struck me as odd that a superstar was on the table, was somebody that the Lakers were making plans for, and then all of a sudden the Lakers shifted those plans, and the explanations for them, or at least the reported explanations for them, didn't track to me. And so I asked around about it over the last day or so, and I walked away from the conversations that I had with a couple of takeaways. One, that obviously Giannis wasn't traded to the Knicks, and the anticipation around the league is that that list of teams is going to grow. Whether that's a leverage play by Milwaukee, whether that's Giannis leaving more seriously, whatever reason you want to land on, everybody I spoke to, or at least most people, the vast majority of people that I spoke to, think that if Giannis re-entertains the notion of being traded or going somewhere else after this season, he said, you know, Brian Windhorst was smart to point out that in his intro presser, Giannis made sure to say, like, you know, things can change in the next 6-7 months. Well, what happens over the course of 6 or 7 months? An NBA season does, right? So the belief is that he's going to, you know, reevaluate things after this season. And whenever he does that, his preference in team that he would like to go to, most people believe that's going to change. And most people believe that that's going to expand, because if the point is to go to a championship team. And if you're leaving Milwaukee specifically to win another championship, then you can't just focus on the one team, because then it isn't just about winning a championship. If it's just about winning a championship, you would say, trade me to the place that you think I would have the best chance at winning a ring. San Antonio comes to mind with the ability to play with Wemby. The Lakers come to mind with the ability to play with Luka, and I don't know, maybe with LeBron. That one is kind of fuzzy. Denver makes some sense to go play with Jokic, who I consider to be the best player in the world. If the whole point of being traded, and the only reason that you're being you would ask to be traded away from Milwaukee, if the whole point is to win a championship, then you can't just limit yourself to one team.